another production from Solid Gold Podcasts.
And it's another week and another episode, and should we say actually the 50th episode of SAPeople.com. But to join us for this momentous occasion, Jenny Baxter will not be doing so. She has come down with the dreaded lurgy over in Antibes in France. I think all those French kissing things that happen over in that part of the world, she's finally succumbed to the not-so-hectic one of the strains of COVID. So we wish you well, Janela Wellefella, wherever you are at the moment. But standing in for her from Cape Town, we have one of the contributors and has been a long-time contributor to SA People, pretty much from its inception, I would reckon. Ted, give us an introduction to yourself, please. Where are you from? What are you about? What do you write about?
Yeah, I actually can't even remember when I joined SA People, but Jenny and I have been friends ever since we wrote a book called The Expat Confessions together, which is basically the reflections of South Africans around the world. And it really is pertinent to any expat who lives anywhere about how do you fit in, how do you choose a new country, what are the hassles that you come across, what are the things you love, what are the things you hate, what are the things you miss about SA. After we finished the book together, I started helping her with SA People coming in and out. So I'm a journalist author between that. So I kind of move out a bit when I'm going off to write a book, and then I come back to SA People. And I used to live in New York for a long time, and I moved back in 2017 to write a book based in South Africa, and I'm now in Cape Town.
And you're the one that we talked about a couple of months ago who decided, you know, you hadn't managed to get your address changed so you could go and vote in your area, and you were still registered to vote in Johannesburg. So you drove from Cape Town to Johannesburg to come and vote. And we did mention that. We thought it was, if you could do that, then people could go and vote, because we were cross about the fact that so few people actually got off their butts and went in and did it.
No, but I actually stayed registered in Joburg because I wanted my vote to count in Joburg. I don't think my vote really counted in Cape Town, because the opposition in Joburg is in charge in Cape Town. So I thought, well, let me stay registered in Joburg and vote in Joburg. And my vote counted because my mayor is in. So it was worth it. It was also interesting because I got to travel through South Africa at a time when all the little towns that I drove through were preparing, and you saw everyone putting their posters up or with their posters up. And it was interesting to see which parties were most represented, or not most represented, but were eager. Mm-hmm. And which areas you were surprised to see certain parties. And I mean, it was actually a really good display of the politics on the road. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, I had SABC going, which actually wasn't bad. I had SAFM radio playing the news most of the time. And it kind of gave me a rundown of what was happening day by day and as the election results came out and I was driving home. So it was quite an interesting exercise. And then seeing South Africa from the road.
Well, road trips are very good. But you don't just do road trips. You also do these weird swims. So I think Jenny and I have mentioned it before that you were going to be doing this 11-kilometer swim. Where was it? Komiki and two?
It was Komiki via Chapman's Peak to Hout Bay.
Okay, that's so, a bit mad, yes. And you did it in a Speedo. Now, most of us who go down to the Cape and go, if you've never been to the Cape before, you don't understand how cold the water is. Mainly people would do these swims in a wetsuit, but I know that we've got a picture which one of SA's top marine conservation photographers happened to be flying past in a microlight and took an amazing picture. That was Jean Chesfond. So there's a whole bunch of pictures from that. But I mean, what were you thinking? Why were you doing this?
It was actually just a spur of the moment decision. A friend of mine who I swim with sometimes. I mean, I'm not an athlete type person. I do swim a lot, but I've swum with her in the sea a couple of times, and she phoned me. It was less than 48 hours before the swim, and she said, "Look, I'm going out to do this swim. Do you want to join me? And I've got a boat that's coming along with us." And it's a well-known guy by the name of Derek Fraser, who's got Big Bay Events, which is helps a lot of the people who do the Robben Island swim, probably all of them. He does a lot of swims around Cape Town. So, you know, so that there's somebody there should there be a shark, or you run into trouble, you know, it gets too much for you. There's somebody, there's a boat you can climb onto, or who can give you liquids in between, or whatever. So she said, look, Derek is taking me on the swim. Would you like to go? And I really didn't think too much about it. I thought, I really would love to see Chapman's Peak from the water.
Mm.
And that was really what drove me. And I thought, you know, if I get too cold or if I get too tired, I can just hop on the boat. And I actually made it. And it's an interesting thing what's happening. You mentioned the sea swimming. Cape Town and the cold water. Cape Town has never really been a place where it's known as a place people go to swim in the sea for any length of time. I mean, if you go to Camps Bay or Clifton, you like dash into the water and like get icy cold and dash out into the heat again. But what happened during COVID is that because they had this strange rule, like many of the strange rules, that you couldn't go to the beach, people couldn't get into the water from the beach, Derek started this thing whereby he actually took people out in a boat and they jumped into the water from the boat and they started swimming from the boat. And he said within a matter of days, his WhatsApp group was like overflowing.
Mm.
And since then, there's hardly a spot on the peninsula that you go to that you don't see like heads now bobbing in the water swimming. And it's actually becoming well known internationally for people who, because really cold, I mean, it sounds stupid, but the cold is really all up here. You could deal with a lot more cold.
I'm going to have to disagree with you on that. I'm sorry. This whole cold, I've seen a lot about this cold water swimming, and I saw that, was it Jack Whitehall on one of his travels with my father when he went up, I think, to Scotland or Wales or somewhere, and there were people doing cold water swimming. I'm sorry. That is not for me. If the water's less than 30 degrees, I'm not getting into it. Okay.
No, but that's, I think what he was talking about more is like these people who cut out a chunk of ice and swim in that, or people who jump into freezing cold water.
Yeah.
This is not that. I mean, you're talking in Cape Town, they've had like 16, 17 off Camps Bay and Clifton this year.
Yeah.
And that's really doable for a lot of people. I mean, I find, you know, it's really a lot of it is in the head. I mean, I thought I could never get down to that temperature. And for a lot of the swim we did, it was 11, which year ago I would have said that's insane.
So there were a lot of people in the water when you were swimming on Friday?
No, there were three of us.
Yeah.
There was the friend who I swam with, and then at the last minute we were joined by a woman by the name of Andrea Mason, who Jenny has written about on SA People. She's a like a super, super triathlete person who lives in, I think she lives in Europe now, but she's British, and she lives half the year in South Africa, and she does these ultra, ultra distances.
Yeah.
And she does it mostly for charities because she had ovarian cancer. And so her next event, she's going to be doing, amongst other things, three lakes in England, one of which is 71 kilometers long. And all of these are back to back. So she swam in a wetsuit, and I lost sight of her after about an hour.
Yeah.
So
she's one of those missions. I blame it all on Lewis Pugh. I think he started this whole thing, and he's to blame, quite frankly. But I mean, there's a lot of events. I mean, wasn't there one happening as well, like a shorter one that happened when you were swimming?
Yeah, there was one when we came out, there was another one gathering in Hart Bay, which was for 3 kilometers. It was more like people could get in and off the boat and jump on again. It was more kind of casual, and it was sponsored by Pluckies.
Oh, we're Pluckies getting Veldskun, who bring out the Pluckies, of course, which is fantastic. I mean, they do some wonderful stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't get any Pluckies. I thought, geez, we swam like 3-4 times the distance and we got no Pluckies.
Oh,
Pluckies.
We're going to have a word with their shoe salesman, their head shoe salesman, when we get him on the show again and just say he needs some.
all of the swimmers had their like shoes on, and they were all these incredible designs. And I mean, the colors, I mean, the design is all the same, but they looked really great, I must say.
Well, I've been hearing about a meme that's been going around with something about a Plucky.
So there's a meme going around now with a Plucky looking shoe with EFF written in big letters on it.
Is it because they're flip flopping?
Yeah, because they're becoming known as the flip flop party. today's another policy. Yeah, I thought it was pretty good.
All right. Well, maybe we should, we'll have a word with the people at Felskin about that as well. See what they have to say. Anyway, so, I mean, look, we up here in Johannesburg, obviously there's been some interesting things happening in our council. We won't get onto that because I find that politics is incredibly boring on occasion, and we will get onto it when something really exciting happens. But the big thing, of course, up here in the north is that we have been having so much rain. And here at the podcast studio, we keep an eye on the levels year by year. And I mean, but especially in KZN, my goodness, I mean, there was on the news this morning, I think 148 schools down in KZN weren't able to open today because they'd been either flooded or damaged by rain in some way. So that's a whole bunch of kids who are like really looking forward to starting school. Shame, man. I feel really sorry for him with the floods that are happening all over the place. But up here, they have actually opened two sluice gates at the Vaal Dam. And the Vaal Dam is sitting at 108.6%. So they need to open those sluice gates. There's been some good stories that have been coming out, though, with people who are actually getting useful, true heroes. There's a photograph, which you'll see on SA People as well, with a police officer rescuing a baby. And a cute South African exchange in the seriousness of it all when the officer passes the baby to his colleague. And the baby starts crying and the officer says, "Jy maak die baba skrik, Sisman," which is very, very, very South African, of course. And just by the way, talking about schools around the country, of course, the IEB results released today for Matrix. And the government schools are getting their results on Friday. There's been a lot in the news about whether they should be able to publish the results in the newspapers. I saw that last night, I think, that the Department of Education has been told that they have to publish the results, but it hasn't got the people's names, just got their ID numbers and their results. Because
That was because of a court case that AfriForum brought together with Marula Media and a Matric student.
Yeah.
So the Department of Basic Education wanted to not publish the results because they felt it was to the benefit of the students, and they took them to court, and the court said no, they have to publish the results, but they can keep the names of the students off.
Yeah,
their results. They just put the number of the student there. And a lot of people see it as a great victory.
Yeah, I don't think the kid. I mean, I've been speaking. Obviously, my children are matriculating at the moment, so they're like, "No, it's an invasion of privacy because then everybody can see how well you did." But if your name is not there, well, then you should be okay. But for me, I mean, I just think about when we were in matric. There was no other way to get our results. The schools were closed. The only way you could get your results was actually in the newspaper. That's all there was to it.
Yeah, there was also some. A bunch of students that did very, very well in the IEBs, and there are two students from St. John's who have been accepted into Harvard and Oxford.
Wow.
Harvard and Oxford. So two of them have been accepted there, which is really, really great. I mean, they got flying colors. And they said that the students generally did better in 2021 than in 2020.
Yeah.
So even despite all the lockdowns and the limitations, they did better, and there was a pass rate of 98%
on the IEB. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Now we wait to see what happens with the CAPS. We'll see how that goes. We'll keep everybody updated. But good luck to all of the matrix. Well, I mean, there's no point in saying good luck now. We'll keep our fingers crossed that you all pass. Yeah, let's put it that way. Can't do anything about it now.
That one's flown the coop already.
Oh, and by the way, going back to the floods for a second as well, 35 people were rescued. 89 have been evacuated, and they're staying in the indoor center in, where is this, in Ladysmith, down in KZN. And we just want to give a huge shout out to the volunteers from the Al Imdad Foundation who helped with the evacuations and looking after the evacuees as well. Now, getting back to the sea, I have to say I am absolutely mortified, shocked and horrified about the fact that one of my favorite things I found out 2 days ago is no longer going to be on the shelves of our supermarkets. And I actually went on an excursion yesterday to all the little shops that I could find to see if I can find any of my favorite Peck's anchovette, which is something I have grown up on. And I've seen so many people on Facebook who are having an absolute hissy fit about the fact that we can't get fish paste anymore. I mean, did you see that about Peck's and Wedwo fish paste no longer going to be here?
Does anybody eat those things anymore?
Yes.
I didn't they do?
Of course we do. I mean, it's been one of my favorite things
forever.
You've
got to be like, somebody who likes Marmite to like Redrow, and I don't know. It's like a very particular taste.
Well, I suppose it also helps if you're ex-Brits. But it is, for me, anchovy toast is just one of the best things. Slightly, lightly sliced tomato on top with a little bit of basil and salt and pepper. One of the best things to eat. So everybody's been sending me recipes on how to make my own fish paste, but I don't want to do that. I want my Pex.
It's only Redrow. Isn't it only Redrow that's stopping, but Pex will still be producing?
No, Pex is also off the shelf. It's been discontinued.
I also saw somebody saying, oh, it's a big marketing campaign. They're actually not really going to pull them. It's just to kind of get a lot of publicity. So maybe you'll be saved still.
If anybody knows where I can get any Pex anchovette, please let me know. I need to get some. Next, they'll be telling us a bit. Oh, apparently HP sauce is also going off, which is an absolute horror. I mean, imagine if they decide to say, as the Americans say, Worcestershire sauce, your Worcester sauce, if it's going to be off the market. I'd be absolutely shocked. I mean, what would we do without that?
That would be like taking ketchup. It would be like taking ketchup off the American supermarket shelves.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly what I feel. Anyway, let's get on to some sport. I mean, we are doing the news for expats at the moment. SA's top seeds, Lloyd Harris and Kevin Anderson, were knocked out in the first round. But the South African wheelchair tennis ace, Kgokgotso Mojane and Donald Rampadi, are still in the Australian Open Grand Slam, just starting on the 23rd. I found that whole thing about returning the Serb, which is so, so pertinent when it comes to tennis. But we're not going to talk any more about that because I think it's been done ad nauseum. And do you follow cricket?
Not so much. I'm more the person who dives in the water than the person who watches anything.
SA has won the series against India, which is great, 2-1. It's only the fourth time in 133 years that a team has scored more than 200 in Cape Town to win. Can you believe that? And I know that your weather down in the Cape is actually good today. I heard on the news today. Fortunately, it's not raining because the first of the 3 1-day internationals is starting in Paul today. Well, they actually, I think, are on the field.
Yeah, it's actually strange because yesterday was raining and misty the whole day, which is very unusual for summer. But I think all of us have been having rather strange weather.
No, well, this is normal. This pouring with rain weather is normal for Johannesburg. Trust me, every January, because if you do something, this weird thing called building a show garden, okay, which happens at one of the colleges here in Johannesburg, it pours with rain every single year. And trying to build a show garden at this time of the year is not much fun, I can tell you that. But anyway, getting out into the veld, have you seen that thing about the elephant in Isimalangiso Wetland Park overturning the 4x4? It's made international headlines.
Yeah, I did see that. I mean, thankfully nobody was injured, were they?
No. The family with two kids under 10 going down the Cape Vidal Road, which means that, I mean, probably the elephant, the bull elephant was in musk and looking for a female. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's quite crazy, hey?
But they
reminds
do that a
you,
lot. I mean,
you
I just.
About elephants, hey?
You probably don't remember Odette Scrooby, Nar Jaber. She was a former Miss South Africa. And she was up at Mabula and flying her helicopter, and she landed the helicopter, and the elephants came and completely trashed the helicopter. Absolutely totaled it. Yeah, so, I mean, people always think, oh, elephants are so nice. I'll tell you what, you see one, you keep your distance, boy. Yeah. But anyway, the people in the car behind them filmed it and called the game rangers to rescue the occupants, and they were a bit shaken. Obviously, I think I would have been if my car had been turned up and shaken and stirred. All right. So you were telling me also about this vaccine production campus in South Africa. What is that all about?
To be honest with you, I don't know what the latest is. I saw that I never can get his name right. The South African who lives in Los Angeles now and owns the Los Angeles Times.
Is it Dr. Soon Shiong?
Yeah. So he, I don't know if you remember that a couple of months ago, he and President Ramaphosa made some statement about the fact that he was Soon Shiong. Soon Shiong. He was going to be contributing quite a few billion dollars, I think, to opening up a vaccine center in South Africa, which would help make COVID vaccines and other vaccines for Africa.
Mm.
And it would be based in, I think, in Cape Town. And so now this is like the next step where they're formalizing it.
Oh, good. Okay. But there's a ribbon cutting. So let's hope that we get into the forefront of that and not just actually get blamed for creating things like Omicron, which is a lot of nonsense.
Well, I think you know, it's also important that I think some people have often wondered why South African expats who've made a lot of money overseas don't contribute to the upliftment of South Africa or whatever. And I mean, obviously there's certain reasons they don't, because a lot of the money that does come here gets
purloined. Is that a good word? Yeah.
So I think the fact that Sun Xiong has done that is amazing, that he's put this faith in it. But I mean, his background, unlike Elon Musk, is more kind of health, and he is a doctor. And I think he's got investments in hospitals and pharmaceuticals. So it's great to see that he's actually kind of coming back to where he started.
Yeah.
And putting some money in.
Okay, good for him. And now getting on to something which I'm really, and one of the two sporting events that I actually do watch on television when they happen, the other one being the Tour de France, of course. I'm talking about the Dakar Rally, and I was so proud and so happy to see so many South Africans doing so well. Brian Baragwanath's team doing so well. But then, of course, Bradley Cox got second in his class, and I'm sure that many of you will remember Alfie Cox. His father also used to do the Dakar, the most amazing motorcycle, and what an absolute mensch, amazing guy. And he was there in Saudi Arabia with him. He finished on the podium three times. And I actually had a friend who was working, I think he was working on that team as well, another expat who's now come back to South Africa, another works rider as well from overseas, Hilton Hayward, one of the great off-road motorcyclists here in South Africa. He was part of the team, so I was following what they were doing through him rather than through anybody else. So those are my heroes. Well done, guys. I'm very happy about that. And then there's also another African hero, a rat. Did you know about the rat, Magawa? He sniffed out 100 landmines.
Yeah, that's quite sad, you know. But I mean, he did his duty, and we wrote about it on SA People.
Yeah,
at least a year
ago. Story. That he was, when he retired.
Oh, no,
yeah.
He was a mine hunter.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, these rats that they train to find landmines, and they do a really good job of it too.
Yeah, shame. And so he's passed away now. And he was an African giant pouch rat born and raised in Tanzania. I just love the whole story. I mean, I just think that, you know, I think that touches the hearts of so many people as well. Yeah. Anyway, so let's get some good news. Have you read that poem that's been going around about domestic workers, written by Herman H. LaRue with artwork by Mary Sabanda? It's absolutely beautiful. And if you haven't seen it or haven't read it, it is on the site. Go and have a look. It is absolutely, when I read it, it made my heart kind of druk a pint, as they'd say. Have you seen it yet, Ted?
I haven't seen it, no.
All right, you and everybody else are going to go and read it.
Are you going to read us a few lines from it?
No, I'm not. You're going to go and read it yourself. You have to read it to yourself. It's one of those things that if you don't read the whole thing, it wouldn't be right. Okay, and then also a safari guide in KZN. I love the fact that we are managing to get a lot of people involved in sort of safari things here in South Africa and getting tourism back up again. Gavin Udall, he's in KZN, sent some amazing pictures of vervet monkeys swimming across a crocodile-infested river in Tlutlui. Which is a very, very rare event, okay? Not quite sure why they were going. And then there's also, he sent some pictures through of an elephant mum and her children crossing the river. and this is, I love this, what Jenny's put here. The male is the only one swimming. And this is apparently because male elephant have to keep their testicles cool in order for sperm to survive. There's more details on the site if you want to find out more about that. Okay. And by the way, what we've got coming up, of course, is more to do with safari destinations. So that'll be coming up. Are you involved in that at all? I know that you're involved with animals and parks and things throughout Africa. Do you know about the story which is coming up on which safari destinations are the best to visit where you'll not be supporting animal cruelty?
Yeah, I mean, that's been quite a big thing. Some people think that they're going to a place that's actually helping conserve animals when they're actually not. So yeah. I'd actually be interested to see what's going on with that. By the way, I also wanted to tell you some good news that's outside of KZN, seeing this is a very pro-KZN episode. Cape Town, after many years in South Africa of having no trains or through lockdown anyway, and the vandalizing that everyone hears about and so forth. The trains have started running in Cape Town quite strongly over the last week. And one of the big ones for everybody is the train to Simonstown. That beautiful trip that you can do from Musenberg through to Simonstown is running again now. And you can even do it in the brand spanking new, what they call the Blue People's Train, which is really looks like a European model train, which gets made locally by a company called Gibella.
Yeah.
So they've been making up these sets of trains in Gauteng somewhere, I think. And they're all like waiting to be rolled out as the train lines slowly open. I mean, I think there's going to be a lot of hiccups over the next couple of months as the railway authority tries to kind of get lines that have been down for a long time, cables that have been stolen, tracks that have been stolen, stations that have been vandalized, trying to get them up and kind of running properly.
Well, that's very positive. Very positive.
No, it's fantastic, you know. And so everyone is now posting little pieces of their... And somebody was saying on Twitter, he's been posting something about the ride into Cape Town from... I think he comes in from Plumstead or somewhere like that. He said, the view that you get coming on the railroad into Cape Town and seeing the mountain should be... You should actually have to pay for it. It's so beautiful.
Well, that's great. You know, we should be building our country up, not pulling it down. Now, come on, people. Like, let's get this together. Stop breaking everything. Let's make our country great. Before we disappear, just a reminder, and I know that you don't have Showmax, do you, Ted? We're going to have to get you onto some kind of Showmax thing.
Oh,
here
I have
going.
Showmax. Are you
Oh, do you? Okay.
Oh, of course.
Oh, good. I'm glad to hear that you've got that as well, because, you know, some people say, well, I don't have Showmax, but there's a way of doing it anyway, both here and abroad. So Nathaniel, you know Nathaniel, the singer, and all time, he's got a new series, Terwyl Ek Wag. It's a cooking show which is shot on a farm near Stellenbosch that has roots to his French ancestor, Jean Leroux. And that's also on Showmax for expats as well, so you can catch it on there. And then the Showmax Pro, Africa only, you can watch all 52 Africa Cup of Nations games, which are streaming live until the 6th of February. And Euphoria Season 2 is on Showmax SA only. But if you're overseas, you can watch on HBO. And then, of course, and you said you're going to go and watch this now. And it's something which people have been saying is so bad, it's good. Apparently, it's very easy watching. We're talking about Brazen, which is number one on Netflix worldwide, starring Alyssa Milano. I think I'll give that a miss. I'm still trying to wend my way through The Handmaid's Tale. Have to take that in small little nibbles rather than bite-sized chunks. It's too depressing to watch the whole thing at once. So that's what you're going to be watching, aren't you, Ted?
Mm-hmm. Talking about Handmaid's Tale, the main actress in Handmaid's Tale, Elizabeth Moss, is now in a series which is based on a book by South Africa's Lauren Birkus.
Yes.
It's called The Shining Girls, which was bought by Apple TV and is now probably in the can already, waiting to be shown. So that's something to look out for. It's about a time-traveling serial killer, and that's with a strong South African... Well, it's written by a South African.
And Lauren Birkus' work is fantastic. I love her stuff. It's fabulous. Anyway, Ted, that's it. We're going to have to love and leave you, and I'm sure we'll catch up with you again. Of course, for everybody, you can go and read his writings and musings on sapeople.com. You'll find a lot of stuff from him there, blogs as well. And hopefully we'll...
tedbuerta.com.
Tedbuerta.com, yes. You have to tell us those things as well. We'll put it up on the site as well. And hopefully Jenny's feeling a lot better and she'll be able to catch up with us next week. Until then, take care, get out there, do something positive for South Africa, and just be good to everybody else. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to another production from Solid Gold Podcasts.